something about that name. My hope and prayer is that you have already trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you have not, that's what I'm here for, to help you with that. First, to trust Jesus as your Savior, and then also to make the decision to trust Jesus as your Lord. For me, they're two different decisions. They're not the same decision. Some of you maybe have made that decision all at one time. That's okay. But they are two different decisions. I asked Jesus to save me by the work that he did on the cross, but then I commit myself to be his servant, and he is my Lord. And whatever my Lord asks me to do, I say, yes, Lord, let's be about it. And that's what it means to make Jesus your Lord when he comes to you. The passage we have for today comes from Joshua, the 5th chapter. Let me kind of set the stage before I read this passage. I'm going to read verses 9 down through 12. Very short passage. The people have crossed over into the promised land. Moses did not come with them. Because of Moses' sin, God did not allow him to cross over the Jordan River into the promised land. He was allowed to go up on the mount and see it, but not cross over. So Joshua, who has been Moses' second-hand man the whole time of these 40 years, and has been learning from Moses what it means to be a leader, is given these words from the Lord as they're in the promised land. Verse 9. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you." So the place has been called Gilgal till this day. On the evening of the 14th day of the month, while camped at Gilgal on the plains of Jericho, the Israelites celebrated the Passover. The day after the Passover, that very day, they ate some of the produce of the land, unleavened bread and roasted grain. The manna stopped the day after they ate this food from the land. There was no longer any manna for the Israelites, but that year they ate the produce of Canaan. They've crossed over into the promised land. Now things are going to change. Now they need to move on. They can't stay where they were. They can't walk the way they were. The very first part of this passage even says, "I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you." Meaning, I have set that behind you. It is gone. It is past. Don't pick it up again where your family was slaves. Don't pick that up again and carry it with you. I have rolled it away. And that's what Gilgal means, by the way. To roll away. That's what Gilgal means. And so from there on out, that place where God rolled away their past and said, this is no longer part of what we're doing here, no longer will this be for you to remember as a place to be stuck. The exciting thing is, and maybe some of you won't think it's so exciting, but the exciting thing is as they move into the promised land, their diet changes. Their diet changes. As they move into the promised land, no longer will they have God-given food. They will have food that requires work. No longer will they get up every morning and the manna will be sitting on the grass, on the ground, on the bushes as the dew settles. No longer will they go out each morning and collect just enough manna for that day. By the way, go back and research some of that. If they collected more than they needed for the day, thinking, hey, I'll go out and collect up a whole bunch and I won't have to do it tomorrow, when they got up the next morning, it was full of insects eating it. They were only to collect what they needed for the day. There was no canning of manna and storing it on shelves. Okay? it would not have been good the next day. God wanted them to trust God for every day and collect only what they needed. But now it's not going to be that way anymore. Their diet is going to change. It changes from this sweet manna that falls from heaven every day to now they've got to do some work. Now they've got to prepare things and get things ready. They've got to grind things. There's so much more they got to do than just going out every morning and picking up the food they need for the day. Well, this food is a symbol. As I look into Scripture and see this in Scripture, it's a symbol of the greater spiritual food God has for them. It is a symbol of the greater spiritual food that God has for them. God's saying, I'm going to give you some better food. Something that is more nourishing. Something that is more helping. Something that will help your growth. Not only physically, but spiritually. There's this moving on. You can't stay with the diet, and I'm sorry I keep using that word because some of you might not like that word, huh? But their meal plan has changed. No longer is it going out and picking it up off the ground every morning. Now they're going to have to be part of getting their own food. And God is saying there's a deeper spiritual food for you to eat. You know, there's a time in a child's life where that child moves from just milk to something more solid. Now, something more solid doesn't look more solid at the beginning as they move from milk to smashed peas and smashed sweet potatoes and smashed meat and smashed. But they slowly move, don't they? And their diet changes. Their meal plan changes. It's no longer just milk for nourishment. It's an ongoing, continuing process. Until children can eat meat and potatoes. I'm sure many of you, that's your favorite thing, right? Meat and potatoes. Amen, bro? Amen. Okay, potatoes in any shape or form, correct?
Amen.
Amen. They can be mashed, they can be fried, they can be baked, anything. They can even be raw, can't they? Oh. Thank you for shaking your head, yes. Yes, they can be raw too. They taste good raw, I think. You see, babies have to move on, don't they? They can't stay with milk their whole life. The people that moved into the promised land can't stay with manna for their whole life. They need to move on. Here's another part in the scripture where God asks us to be co-creators with God of what the world is going to be. Do you realize that God asks us to be co-creators with God? It's in unity with God that things continue to progress forward. It's also in unity with God that our spiritual life continues to press forward. I appreciate, not only in seminary, but I appreciate what I learned from my United Methodist friends about grace. Because grace comes in different aspects. The first thing is what's called a prevenient grace. Something that happens before we even know God. And as I look back on my life before I made a commitment to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior, God was orchestrating things in my life and bringing grace into the midst of my life to wake me up to an understanding that God loved me. Prevenient grace, right? Prevenient grace. And then comes what's called justifying grace. That very moment when I come to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior, and God says, I take the very righteousness of Jesus Christ and I place it on you and justify you and make you right. by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Justifying grace. And then there's the one that not a lot of Christians think about, and not a lot of Christians talk about. It's called sanctifying grace. Sanctifying grace is not any one moment in time. It starts from the very moment that you are justified by God with grace, and it should continue the whole rest of your life on a spiritual process of growth that continues every day. This morning, as we met at 9 o'clock this morning for Principles of Faith, we talked about assurance of victory in the Christian life. And we talked about that every one of us will be tempted. And when you fall to temptation, it's sin. And I made this comment downstairs this morning. If you're not growing closer to God each and every day of your life, I can almost guarantee you, you will always fall to sin. I can almost guarantee you that when that temptation comes, that you will fall and walk right into sin if you're not actively working on your relationship with God. Just as this young child has to progress from one type of food to another in order to stay strong and grow stronger, so do we as Christians. If we're going to grow stronger in our spiritual life, we need the same thing, don't we? We need to continue eating on God's Word and eating on a relationship with God and growing deeper and deeper. Those that have been on the staff through the years that I have walked through a number of books with and a number of studies with will tell you that I ask them to reach very deep and very far. We don't brush the surface of spiritual things. Matter of fact, I've given them books that I want them to read and to want them to spend time in, and they have told me this is too hard and this is too deep. And I said, good, read. That's where we need to be. You need to be digging. Every person needs to be digging at God's Word, digging at a relationship with God, and growing from the very first foods to a stronger food. Growing on the spiritual journey requires us to also move on to food with more substance. If we're going to grow in the spiritual life, it requires us to eat food that's going to help us to grow. Okay? You can't eat just any one food all the time, every day, every meal. You can't have mashed potatoes for breakfast, lunch, and dinner every day for your whole life. You'll miss out on some kind of substance, some kind of nourishment, some kind of vitamin. You will miss out if you stick with just one food in the spiritual life. I want to read for you Hebrews, the fifth chapter, verses 11 through 14. Listen to what the writer of Hebrews has to say to the people. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to make clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not spiritual food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. We have much to say about this, the writer of Hebrews says. But we can't tell you about it because you've stopped trying to understand. You stopped working at growing in the spiritual life. I can't share it with you, is what the writer's saying. You should be eating solid food by now, but you're still on milk. And you need that spiritual milk or you won't survive. And the writer even goes on to say, you should be teachers by now, but you're not. I'm willing to make a very bold statement. If you've been in the church for more than 10 years, you should be a teacher by now. You should be a teacher by now. There are other people in the faith that don't know what you know if you've been in the church 10 years, and you should be sharing with them and you should be helping them. You should be encouraging them and lifting them up. And if you look at me and say, Pastor, I don't know how to do that, it's time to get on with it. That's why churches fail. That's why churches grow smaller. That's why churches close. Because people are not helping other people in the spiritual life. It's not just my job. It's also yours. It's also yours to be teachers. My life verse is 2 Timothy 2:2. It's a verse that I have always applied to my life and I always seek to do over and over and over again. Paul says to Timothy, the things you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful people who will be able to teach others also. You hear what Paul's saying? Paul says to Timothy, I want you to find some faithful people you can teach, who can teach others also. There's four generations there. Paul, Timothy, the people that Timothy is going to teach, and the people that those people are going to teach. When is my job over? When I see my spiritual grandchildren teaching somebody else. That's when my job's over. I'm to teach you. You're to teach somebody else. And when that person teaches someone else about the spiritual life and how to grow in the spiritual life, I've done what I'm supposed to do. That's my life verse that I try to live again and again and again every day. This sanctification process, this ongoing growing process must happen for every Christian. You've heard me say it this way before. I really would like to get to heaven and find out that I've learned everything I can about the spiritual life. Will that be possible? No. Because there's always so much more. But I'm going to try to make that my goal. That when I get to heaven, there's not any surprises. Besides the surprise of, oh, you're here? Folks, shouldn't we be growing that way? Let's stop calling ourselves Christians. Will you agree with me? Let's stop. No more. We're people on the way. That's what they were called before they were ever called Christians. We are people on the way. Do you know what that means? Listen, it means we ain't got there yet. That's what it means. We ain't got there yet. We're still traveling. We're still moving on. Gosh, I will be forever. The number one biggest thing that I learned from the people in Kenya is the destination doesn't matter. Because the destination's already solved. I trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I'm going to heaven. Amen? Yeah. It's not the destination. It's the journey now. Those people would, in their society, they're allowed to be 2 hours late for a meeting, and that's perfectly acceptable. Nobody gets anxious about it. Nobody gets anxious about it. You know why? because the journey was more important. I might meet somebody along the way that I've got to stop for 10, 15, 20 minutes and talk with. Now you may think that don't work. Guess what? Their society works. I watched people come in, some of you will like this, I watched people come in an hour and a half late to worship service. Yes, I did say an hour and a half late. Worship service was still going on. They came to the end of the pew, they said a word of prayer, and then they entered into worship. Nobody frowned upon that. Now, a bunch of Americans, after about 15 minutes, you just ain't going to show up, are you? Because I'm not going to walk in that late and look that to be that late and have everybody look at me. Folks, it's about the journey. It's about growing spiritually. It's about learning more. It's about moving from spiritual food that's milk to spiritual food that's meat and potatoes. And the writer of Hebrews says that's where you folks should be if you've been in church any number of years. I should have, by this time, for most of you, I'm willing to say, I should have a whole church full of teachers. Instead, when we ask for people to be teachers in this church, I get two responses. Oh, I can't do that. Or, I'm too old to do that. Both of those are bad answers, by the way. I'm just going to tell you that. They're bad answers. The writer of Hebrews says, you stopped trying to understand. You stopped trying to grow spiritually. And we got to go back and give you some milk first before you can grow in the faith. Now, here's what I want to tell you. If that's where you are and you recognize that fact, make a decision today to do something different about it. Make a decision today to do something different about that. And say, never again will I need just milk to live on. I'm going to move towards this better spiritual food. I'm going to move towards co-creating with God an atmosphere, an environment where I understand deeper and I can grow more. You see, this food now requires preparing, planting, weeding, harvesting, and indigestion. No, ingestion. Okay? When I typed that earlier this week, that's all I could ever keep thinking of was indigestion. I'm like, no, that's not the right word. It requires preparing, planting, weeding, harvesting, and ingestion. Are you doing all those things in your spiritual life? Are you preparing your heart so that it will grab a hold of deeper things of God? Are you preparing your heart to hear what God is saying to you and where God is asking you to participate and be part of things? Are you preparing? Are you allowing the very seed of God to be planted in you? Are you allowing the seed of God to be planted in you? And are you caring for that? Are you plucking out all the weeds that would take away the nourishment? Are you getting rid of the weeds so that the plant can grow to its fullness and have its fruit and be harvested? And are you eating of the fruit that happens? That's for you to know. What I think is you look at all of those different things, preparing, planting, weeding, harvesting, ingestion. As you look at all of those things, I would hope you find one step along there that you would go, there's where I need to work some. There's where I need to do something. There's where I need to participate in a deeper way. There's where I need to be moving on the way. Christianity is not about coming and warming a pew. Christianity is about living the life that God wants us to live in this world. Christianity is about changing. Whoops, I said something wrong, didn't I? Changing. Oh, we're church people. We don't like change. Yeah, I know. You don't like change, but you don't want to watch the same thing on TV day after day, do you? You don't want to listen to the same music on the radio every day, do you? Folks, it's time to change. It's time to get involved in this process here. It's time to grow. It's time to move on from milk to meat and potatoes. It's time to move on to something much better. It's time to dig deeper in the midst of God's Word. It's time to search out what's God asking you to be about. Where's God asking you to be involved? What step is God asking you to take? What weeds is God saying get rid of? What fruit is there that you've got to pluck off the vine and you got to eat so that you can partake in what's going on? What's there? Well, it's about another month and some of you are going to be planting tomatoes. And you're going to make sure those tomato plants are taken really good care of, aren't you? You're going to make sure that they're fertilized. You're going to make sure that they're weeded. You're going to make sure that they don't have insects on them. You're going to make sure they don't have rot on them. You're going to look for them to grow. You can't wait yet to take off that first tomato and eat a BLT, can you? Or just a tomato sandwich. What about your spiritual life? Have you got that same hunger for your spiritual life? Have you got that same hunger for your spiritual life? Because here's what I'm getting ready to tell you. It's much better than a tomato sandwich. It's much better than a tomato sandwich. And I love tomato sandwich. Are you going on the way? Are you moving on? Are you going to the deeper spiritual food? That's one of the reasons I've done the Principles of Faith class on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock. And as I advertise that right now, Dan and I won't be here next weekend. Reverend Scott Thayer is going to be here to share with you next week. I know Scott's looking forward to it. Scott's been here before. You know Scott. Please be in prayer for him this week as he prepares what God wants him to share with you. But that Principles of Faith class that I've started on Sunday morning, that's what it's about. It's about moving from milk to solid food. It's about knowing better what God wants us to do in the midst of this world. It's about growing spiritually. Why would you not want to grow spiritually? Why would you not want to learn more about God? Why would you not want to look more like Jesus Christ in the midst of a world that is traveling down the wrong road? Tell me. Why would you sit back and just cool your jets when you could grow in your relationship with God? Let me read for you once more what the writer of Hebrews says. We have much more to say about this, but it's hard to make clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, still being an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. You hear that? Folks, it's time to dig deeper. It's time to grow. It's time to expand. It's time for all y'all, I'll say it that way because people think that's the correct way, I don't. All y'all to be teachers. Should just be y'all, by the way. Y'all should be teachers, all of us. And we should be out in the midst of this community teaching about Jesus Christ. And how about how people can come to the faith, about how they can grow in the faith, about how God's Word is the wonderful resource that has been left for us, about what prayer does, about how I join together in fellowship with other people and how exciting that is to hear other people on their journey about God. It's time for all of us to be teachers. And unless you can find for me in scriptures where it says you get to retire, then that's where I'm going to keep the bar. Because I can't find any place where you retire in scripture. And for those of you that want to look for a place, just remember Moses started when he was 80 and ministered for another 40 years. So those of you that are want to claim you're close to Moses' age or above, I'm pretty sure, maybe I'm wrong and somebody can tell me, none of you have gotten to 120 yet. It's not time to retire. It's time to push on. It's time to grow deeper. It's time to be excited about our faith. So I'm going to ask you to think about this question. Are you putting in the work needed to eat the deep spiritual food that God desires for you to eat? Are you putting in the work needed to eat the deeper spiritual food God desires for you to eat? Let's pray. Lord, continually you call us to a deeper spiritual life. Continually you ask us to move on in the faith. You continually ask us to grow. And yet sometimes, especially now, Lord, with church and church activities being disrupted by a pandemic, it seems to be so much easier just to sit still. It seems to be so much easier to live a life of faith that is not challenged, is not changed, is not growing, is not taking risk. Lord, challenge us. Show us where we need to do more preparing, more planting, more weeding, more harvesting, and especially more of eating upon the spiritual food that you have for us. Lord, show us that we might truly be your people in this community, transforming this world for Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.